Do you realize that the more a Christian wants to follow the Lord, the less he can do as he pleases? Follow thou me. These were the words that the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter after he had called him to face him and ask him those questions we talked about yesterday. After the Lord Jesus had said to Peter on that day, "Lovest thou me?" And he'd asked him three times, "Are you really my friend?" And when Peter kept saying, "Yes, yes, yes," each time he said, told him what to do, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And now we come to that last portion of the Gospel of John, and we're going to see that the Lord Jesus repeats this and says it to Peter again, "Follow thou me." Our study of the Gospel of John is going to come to an end with this very study we're having here today. Throughout this whole study, and we have been studying now for weeks in this gospel, our attention has been focused on the Lord. We have watched the Lord Jesus Christ here upon earth, and we've seen that he's been dealing with people. And today our attention is drawn to this. When he began dealing with people, way back there at the beginning, if you will remember, right in the very first chapter, he had one word to say, "Come and see, follow me." And now at the very close, in the very last chapter, the last incident that occurs, his dealing with Peter, "Follow thou me." And that's the word he leaves us with. In other words, when he is calling us to himself, it's "come and see." Come to me. Come and follow me. And when he is ready to leave and he sends us on the way to our work and to our mission, it would look as though we're going out from him. It would look as though he were sending us on away while he's staying behind, but that's not true. Actually, he's going before us, and by his Spirit he goes with us. And there's never a time that you and I need to start out alone, never a time when you and I need to face any kind of situation where we are, as it were, facing the thing first and going out and the Lord being behind us. He's never behind us. When the Lord Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," before that imperative, that command was finished, if you'll remember, he said, "For lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, it might be well for you to have in mind when he says, "I am with you always," doesn't mean necessarily he's following behind me. It could mean he's walking beside me, but that's not even necessary. It could well mean he's going before me, that he himself is going before me, and I'm just walking along with him as we go. Certainly, this is what we find here. And now I want to draw your attention in these closing verses in chapter 21 in the Gospel according to John. I'm going to draw your attention to the 18th verse. In some respects, I think that in my own life in recent years, this has become one of the most meaningful verses of Scripture. Let us see just exactly how it goes. You'll remember it follows the Lord Jesus asking Peter three times over, "Lovest thou me?" And now notice what he says in verse 18. First, I'll read it to you, just as you have it in verse 18 of chapter 21. The Lord Jesus saying to Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest." When thou wast young, at the beginning of your life, when you were young, thou girdest thyself. You dressed yourself up for work. You tightened your belt. You rolled up your sleeve. You put on your equipment. You got ready for work and walkest whither thou wouldest. What you had to do was largely on your own initiative. You took charge, as it were, and you undertook to serve the Lord. You undertook to do what the Lord would have you do. You felt in your heart you ought to serve the Lord, so you made up your mind. Maybe you'd teach Sunday school. Maybe you'd give money to the church. Maybe you'd work in the churchyard. Maybe you would work in the church kitchen. Maybe you would teach a Sunday school class. Maybe you would go visit people. But you would do what you want to do. And if any one of those jobs got to be disagreeable to you and you didn't like it, you'd quit. Because you wanted to quit, you'd quit. You'd teach a Sunday school class if you wanted to, and if you didn't want to, you'd quit. You would help in working in the school in the churchyard if you wanted to, and if you didn't want to, you just wouldn't be there. You might be around working as a woman in the women's circle, women's work of the church, and you'd be working along in that, taking programs, part in programs, and something would come up and you wouldn't like it, and so you just wouldn't do it anymore. Those were the days when you did what you wanted to do. And by the way, let me remind you, it's a mark of being young. I do not want to call it childhood, but it is like that. It's the mark of being immature. That's just what it is. When you're full of the idea, you're going to do as you please. Now notice, in the middle of the verse, but when thou shalt be old, now this doesn't mean old in years necessarily. It could mean that, but it doesn't mean necessarily when you'll be chronologically old. When you get to be 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, old, old, old. Not that way. It's mature. When you get to be grown, when you get to act like a man or a woman, when you get to a person that is able to control yourself and you're acting like a grown person, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. And that's the gesture that you do when you're nailed to the cross. You spread out your hands that they can put you on the cross. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, another shall gird thee. They'll take charge of you. They will, as it were, take you over. They will, in one version that I read, said they shall dress you. Well, they could put the equipment on you. The point is, they will tie you up, and they will take charge of you, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. They'll take you where they want you to go, whether you like it or whether you don't. Now, in the case of the Lord Jesus, it would be as much as to say they would put him on the cross, whether he wanted to go on the cross or not. They would put him on the cross and let him die there. And that sort of thing will happen for every one of us in the Christian life. We are going to find that other people will, as it were, take over. I think I drew your attention to it when we were talking about the crucifixion of the Lord. It's always one of the most astonishing things when you stop to think about it. When the Lord Jesus was crucified, he was crucified by people that didn't understand him at all. They were not worthy to be his equals at all. I don't know whether it would make any very great big difference if he'd been crucified by the most important people in the country. It would sound a little different. I'm not sure that it makes so much difference if an angel would have crucified him. It might seem a little bit different, but that's not the case. Callous soldiers that didn't know what it meant, all meant. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. They were the people that crucified him. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing that and saying it is because with some of you, there are going to be people in your community, people in your family, people in your church that will literally crucify you and won't even know what they're doing. They will actually act in a way that will hurt you, and they won't even realize what they're doing. They won't know at all that what they are doing is hurting you the way in which it is. Now, this is what now what the Lord is particularly saying to Peter. He is saying, when you were young, you did as you pleased. But when you get to be mature, when you get to where you can carry responsibility as a Christian, when you get to the place where you can really serve the Lord, you're not going to be your own boss anymore. You will yield yourself into the situation and let them do what they want to do. God will overrule. This is a hard thing to learn, but very, very important. And that's why I've given the time I have to that 18th verse. You keep it. Draw a circle around it. Look at it again and again. It'll help you any amount of times. Now look at verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And everyone who reads this realizes that this seems to be a prediction that the day would come when Peter would be crucified. And that's the way in which it does happen. That's the tradition says, that Peter came to death by being martyred with crucifixion. But whether that's the case or not, it is true this way, that the matter of yielding yourself to death, denying yourself in self-crucifixion, is the death that by which you would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. And that's what will be involved. Now verses 20 to 22. And this is very interesting, it's almost amusing, but you look at it closely. Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. He saw John, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? That was John. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? You often feel that way when some call comes for you to teach in Sunday school. You often look around and say, well, what's that woman doing over there? And what's he doing over there? When somebody, in the church, the call comes for you to take part, do you ever wonder why it is they give that job to you and don't give it to somebody else? Lord, what shall this man do? Look at verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, I'm sure this was spoken kindly. I'm sure that it was spoken in a way that Peter would misunderstand. I'm not sure that I can say it that way, but do you know what that really means? And I'll try and say it without having any flavor in it at all. Do you know what that really means? it's none of your business what the other man's doing. You don't make up a decision for yourself by looking at the other person. If God calls you to do, you don't look around and wonder what the other person's doing. If God calls you to give, you don't look around and wonder what 10 other people are going to give. No. Did he call you to give? Did he call you to go? Did he call you to speak? Did he call you to pray? So nobody else prays. But did he call you to pray? So nobody else does anything about winning people to the Lord. Did he call you to witness? Whatever he called you to do, follow thou me. We read then in verses 23, 24, it's a very interesting little thing, and you can tell how rumors get started. Then went this saying abroad, that's a rumor, among the brethren, that this disciple should not die. But Jesus did not say to him, thou shalt not die. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, that was John, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And so this whole book ends with verse 25. Take a look at that. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen, writes John. And you know, so far as you're concerned, the Lord is still doing these things, and he'll do them in you and for you. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that thou hast spoken peace to our hearts and called us to thyself. Give us the grace to believe in him and to follow him always. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.